Chief Executive Curtis Leggett said in a statement, quote, "Our nation must stand fully united against misinformation and for freedom and democracy across the globe." Randy J. Stone reports in Radio World that the Federal Communications Commission is thinking about reinventing the emergency alert system. Listeners mostly hear tests of the emergency alert system on televisions and radios that open with a long, static-filled tone and say that, quote, "in the event of an actual emergency," unquote, important information would be relayed. The system is mostly used as a warning for hazardous weather events, interrupting programming on all stations in the affected area. The system began in 1997, primarily to allow the President of the United States to address the country via all radio and television stations in the event of a national emergency, but has never been used for anything other than regional weather warnings. The emergency messages come in four parts: a digitally encoded specific area messaging encoding header, an attention signal, an audio announcement, and a digitally encoded end of message marker. So while listeners only understand the words or messages, the computers are hearing other information. Some stations in each market get the initial warning message, and the other stations get the message from the station through digital codes. Now, though, many Americans do not get all their immediate information from over-the-air transmissions. Many hear news from online digital sources. A second system, the Common Alerting Protocol, has been set up for digital sources, and the FCC is now asking broadcasters if they can all switch to that system and integrate it somehow into analog radio and television. This is all behind the scenes debate, and whatever the result will probably sound the same to listeners and viewers in the future. If the mandate for a messaging system remains, it might not, since it is not really needed for national emergency when every channel would be covering every moment of a president's words without any mandate. Paul Revoir reports for the Daily Mail that the British Broadcasting Corporation has another so-called slow radio production in the works that is a field recording reality show. Honey, A Day in the Life of a Dog will air in July on the BBC Radio 3 using, quote, carefully placed, unquote, microphones so that, quote, the essence of Honey is captured as we are gently enveloped in the noises she both makes and hears, unquote. Honey is a fox red Labrador. The BBC recently began airing what they call slow television, which has included a BBC 4 show of a two-hour bus ride through Yorkshire and a canal journey on a narrow boat. For what they call slow radio, the BBC's Radio 3 has aired a show on the, quote, all-consuming silence, unquote, of a walk along the coast of Greenland and Benedictine monks in the, quote, silence of the monastery, unquote. On Saturday, April 30th, Wavefarm airs some slow radio on WGXC with SoundCamp's ninth iteration of Reveille, a collective production by streamers at listening points around the earth, starting on the morning of Saturday 30th, of April in South London near the Greenwich Meridian. The broadcast will pick up feeds one by one, tracking the sunrise west from microphone to microphone following daybreak around the earth for 24 hours. This has been the Wave Farm Radio News. Go to wavefarm.org for more information.
I was just going to lie down for 5 minutes, take a little nap.
Yeah, a regular Rip Van Winkle.
Who?
Another guy who took a little nap, woke up and didn't know where he was.
This is Otis M. Carson. I'm from NYC, and you're listening to WGXC, Acra, Hudson, Catskill.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Georgia, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatih, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today. We're sometimes joined also by our friends Mashuda and Jada. And every once in a while, we have Amelia here, and we're excited that she's here today. Hooray! So why don't we go ahead and start with Amelia, since we haven't heard from her in a few weeks.
So I haven't had a lot of time to read new books because I'm doing my final papers for college. So I'm reading a heck of a lot of textbooks about music, which is fun. But I have fun book-related news that I found a few days ago. And that is that possibly in 2023, if you remember, I believe one of my favorite comics of all time is the comic Nimona. And it's had like a possible like animation in the works for years, which has been canceled over and over again and has made me so sad. But it looks like possibly in 2023, it will finally possibly get a movie, which I am praying for. I am praying for it because that would make me really, really happy because that is one of my favorite comics of all time.
Me too.
And it looks like Netflix is going to be the person, the organization, the company or whatever.
Oh, is that back on? Because I know it was canceled not too long ago. So hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. It used to be very much in the hands of Disney, which I wasn't very fond of. But I think now that it's like in the hands of Netflix, I really hope it turns out okay.
And for our listeners, that is a really fun graphic novel. I'd say it's somewhere between middle grade and young adult. I haven't read it in a while.
Yeah, I'd say that's where it kind of lands.
And it's about a shape-shifting supervillain sidekick named Nimona in a world where what makes one a supervillain versus a good guy, a hero, is
superhero.
It's a super fun comic. I read it. I sit down, like, at least every so often, and I just read it completely through, and it makes me very happy.
Me too. I should read it more often, actually, because it is very fun.
Mm-hmm. Never read that.
It's very, very good. You should.
Agreed.
There are, like, rumors of, like, casting. Not who is going to be who, but some people who are rumored to possibly be voices in it. Like, do voice acting work, which sounds cool.
It'd be cool if you were a voice actor in it.
No, I'm not. I'm not an actor in any regard. I did theater work once, and I hated it.
I love acting, but I would not be a very good voice actor, because sometimes when I read from, like, stuff out loud, my, like, voice sounds really weird, so... Wish me luck for reading a poem today.
Good luck.
That sounds fun. Something I also got recently that is book related is my dad got me copies of the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark books. Not the originals, but the versions that came out after the movie came out. So they have different covers. The illustrations on the inside are still all the normal, very unnerving illustrations, but the covers are different. They are stills from the movie.
I wonder if they'll ever make another movie.
I hope they will, because
one was really good.
I loved the first one, and I think there are a ton of other stories they could have used. Some of the stories in those books are wild. I know a lot of people.
It does look like there's a sequel in pre-production.
Yeah, the end of the first movie seemed to imply there would be a sequel. I loved the first movie. I loved it because they used, like, practical effects and not just CGI, and they basically did everything I love in a horror movie, which is the use of practical effects, and just, it had some frightening moments for a PG-13 movie. It was really good.
Yeah, I just related to your movie adaptation topic. I happened to sign up for Apple TV the other day because I wanted to watch Coda, which was the Academy Award winning film this year, which was really good. And I was just peeking around to see what they had on there. And I found that there's an animated show based on the Princess and the Pony book by Kate Beaton, which is a really cute picture book that I love and I suggest to people all the time because it's so cute and fun. So I'm probably going to check that out, even though I'm not the target age for it. But figure while I have my brief subscription, I should check it out. But if you haven't read The Princess and the Pony by Kate Beaton, it's an excellent picture book.
I can relate to watching shows that possibly you're not the target audience for, trust me. Back 2 years ago when quarantine first started and we first started doing the show on Zoom and everything was new and weird and different, I decided to dedicate myself to watching a cartoon I watched when I was really little called Ninjago. I loved that show when I was younger, and I sat down and I was like, all right, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to binge watch all of it. At 18, I am going to binge watch this whole show about Lego ninjas, and I did, and it was the best time.
Very fun.
Those were the things we did when quarantine was just starting off. They're interesting to look back on. I certainly made choices on what to spend my time on.
Well, let's move on to talk with Fatia. What did you have to share with us today, Fatia?
I have this poem that I found online, and it's called Walking Through the Mist. Maybe if I walk through this mist, I will reach near your loneliness. Or never ever. In this struggle, most summer afternoon, I can remember once my day was over when I was in the midst of my work and many other, even beyond the length of my longest work, I could see the painted look in your eyes, but I could never touch your Golden. Now in the mist, I reach for the times lost between you and me. The reason is why I really like this poem because it shows a lot of details, and like the most important part of it is that it's like about the middle part. It was so interesting to me. And yeah,
that was a great poem. I loved that.
Does it say on the website where you found it who it's by?
It does say who it's by. It's by Rubia, and it's like in Twitter.
Very interesting. I love a good poem, and it's National Poetry Month. Hooray.
Woo-woo.
I need to pick out a book of poems to read because I like to read a book of poems every April. I like to read them more than just in April, but I like to read them at least in April, so I have to pick one out. Did you have a poem you wanted to share as well, Georgia?
Yes. So I memorized this poem for my third grade poetry reading, but COVID closed down the schools the exact day we were going to have our poetry reading, so we couldn't. But I found the poem again, and I thought that I'd re-memorize it. And it's by my very favorite poet. So I bet that a lot of you will know this one. Rain by Langston Hughes. Let the rain kiss you. Let the rain beat upon your head with silver liquid drops. Let the rain play you a lullaby. The rain makes still pools on the sidewalk. The rain makes running pools on the gutter. The rain plays a little sleep song on our roof at night. And I love the rain. So that was Rain by Langston Hughes. And Langston Hughes is an incredible poet. He's my favorite. Definitely recommend reading some of his incredible poet, just incredible poet.
When you memorized that in third grade, did you get to choose it or was it assigned to you?
I chose it.
And what made you choose that poem?
Ever since I first read his poems in kindergarten, he's always been my favorite. I just feel very drawn to him. I just love that poem. I'm a huge, huge Langston Hughes fan.
Are you a fan of the rain?
Yes. Thunderstorms are my favorite weather.
Interesting.
Why expect that of me, would you? Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know. Well, thanks for sharing your poem. I too like Langston Hughes. Maybe I'll read some more of his poems this month. But today I have a book to share. It is a teen graphic novel called Cheer Up, Love and Pom-Poms. There's two cheerleaders on the front. Rah, rah, rah. It's by Crystal Fraser, Val Wise, and Oscar O. Jupiter. And I guess I'll read the description for this one. Annie is a smart, antisocial lesbian starting her senior year of high school who's under pressure to join the cheerleading squad to make friends and round out her college applications. Her former friend, Bibi, is a people pleaser, a trans girl who must keep her parents happy with her grades and social life in order to maintain their support of her transition. Through the rigors of squad training and amped up social pressures, not to mention microaggressions and other queer youth problems, the two girls rekindle a friendship they thought they'd lost and discover there may be other sweeter feelings springing up between them. So this was a sweet little book. I liked the two main characters a lot and don't ever really read books about cheer, like a cheer squad. So that was sort of fun seeing a different side than what we usually see in the media about cheerleading. But yeah, it's a nice story. Both of the young women are like sort of dealing with different pressures and they were like friends back in the day. And the sort of moment brings them back together when Annie has really great grades in school, but in a meeting with the guidance counselor, they express concern that Annie is not well-rounded as a candidate for college. And they're worried about her chances getting into a good school when all she has going for her really is her grades. Because she doesn't have any like social activities or hobbies or anything. And so they convince her that she needs to try joining something. And so she ends up signing up for cheerleading and finding like a crew of friends and an activity that she enjoys and, you know, has fun with. So
sounds like a great book.
Yeah, it was a really quick read too. It's not very hefty of a graphic novel. I don't know if there's any more, if this is a series or not. I think it might just be a standalone, but I'd seen it on like lists before. I think it might be up for a Lammy this year. I'm not sure. The Lambda Literary Awards. I think it might be up for graphic novel in there. That may have been what got me to finally read this when I was checking out those awards. But yeah, highly suggested. Cheer Up, Love and Pom-Poms by Crystal Fraser, Val Wise, and Oscar O. Jupiter. And I have to figure out what to read next. I have so many books, but I don't know which one to start with. What do you think I should read next?
Read Marshmallow and Jordan. It's so good. Oh, hey, maybe you know what we could do? I could drop by the library and we'd swap. I could lend you my copy of Marshmallow and Jordan and you could maybe lend me Cheer On.
What? What'd you say? I could lend you what?
Cheer On and I could lend you Marshmallow and Jordan. Oh, cheer up.
Well, this one's a library copy, so you'd have to borrow it from the library.
Oh, it's a library copy. Great. Yeah. That's even better. So, oh, wait, I lost my library card in the move. Oh, great. Good for me. So, yeah, I'll just let you borrow the book or keep it if you want.
Or I could borrow it from the library.
You have Marshmallow and Jordan?
I don't know if we have it in our collection, but I can get it.
You should. It's a really good book. I think that's set in Indonesia, I think.
Never been there. Like to go sometime. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what I'm visiting my mom right now. And I'm trying to remember what books I brought home with me. Because she has a lot of books here that I could borrow. And then I have books on my phone. But one of the physical books I borrowed that I might read next is Stunt Boy in the Meantime by Jason Reynolds with drawings by Raoul III, which I really want to read. It's not a graphic novel, but it has a lot of illustrations in it that are kind of like cartoony illustrations. Seems fun. And I like Jason Reynolds writing. I like both Jason Reynolds and Raoul III quite a bit. I've read a lot of picture books that Raoul III has done. So maybe that will be my next one until I can get to Marshmallow and Jordan. Does anyone else know what they're reading next?
I'm reading Cheer Up next.
What are you reading next, Fatia?
I'm going to read like a... another poem that I found online. It was so interesting, but I forgot what it was actually called.
Are you gonna read it now or in the future?
I'm gonna read it in the future.
Oh, okay. That sounds like a good idea. Yeah, I want to read some more poems too. I wonder if there's any poetry books here in my mom's house. Maybe I can find a book of poems to read here. Definitely some Shakespeare. Maybe there's some sonnets mixed in there. I'll look around. How about you, Amelia? Do you have anything on your to-read list once you're done with all your papers?
I'm not sure. My dad and I have been kind of going through that actor book together, just going to random pages and picking a random movie from that one of the actors has been in and then watching it.
Oh, as a
thing. I have a plan when he gets to Leonardo DiCaprio. I'm going to make him watch The Great Gatsby. And that's book related because he hasn't seen the newer version of The Great Gatsby yet. And he needs to. Everyone needs to.
I know how much you love both the book and the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Or the movie, at least. I don't know. Did you see the older version of the movie too?
I never saw the older version of the movie.
Why bother?
Yeah, I just... The new one is so pretty, so I like it. I like it a lot.
I like that activity of like reading about an actor and then picking out a movie to watch from your book. That seems fun.
It is fun.
I'm still making my way through my Marvel movie watch. I forget what year I'm
in. You're gonna be doing that forever.
At some point it's gonna be messed up because then there's all these other movies coming in and who knows what's going on with the multiverse, but I'm just going to follow along while I can, and then we'll see. I mean, I'm definitely going to watch some things in between, like the newer stuff that comes out. Like, I'm not waiting until the end of time to watch Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, I did recently see Morbius, which got horrible reviews, but I thought it was fun, so.
Yeah, I've never read about Morbius, like seen comics of them.
I haven't read about most of the Marvel superheroes that are in the big, massive movie universe, so it's not, I don't know, I don't think it's really necessary to know everything.
No, and the things are very different at times, like with the adaptations there's often like changes in characters, or certain characters like might die in the comics but live on in the movies, or vice versa.
Yeah,
so yeah, but it's interesting. I like doing both on occasion when the superhero is right or the comic is right. But having fun. I just finished Jessica Jones season one, which I'd seen before. I rewatched that. It's a bit more of an adult comic series and show. But I know when they moved all of the like Netflix Marvel stuff to Disney Plus, there was some concern amongst parents about having this more adult content on there. So they now had a thing where you could like check off if you want access to adult content or not.
Yeah, they do. There. It's like high content rated. Right now on me and my sister's account, it's rated high content. I think it was originally PG-13, but I changed it to TVMA, I think. I mean,
watch out for that adult content on there.
I mean, my sister's 5, but she's not going to be watching like adult content. I just watch some more adult stuff with my parents. But a really funny story is, so once they're... I think that was some kind of baby shower or something that we had at our house for one of my mom's friends. And so we set my 1-2-year-old sister up with a show, like she just turned 2. And my parents told me to check on her. And she is watching one where it is like rated R and is like TVMA. And this couple was like, I can't believe I left you, Violet. How will you take me, please?
Just so my sister, indoctrinating the baby into soap operas at an early age.
My sister just like X'd out of her like baby show and went onto my parents' account somehow and watched like something off of one of their accounts that is really inappropriate. So that was funny.
This is why I hate it when people like just leave their children with iPads.
Yeah.
They smack every button and then next thing you know they're somewhere where they shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's true. Never leave a child under the age of 6 alone in the room with an iPad.
Yeah.
Well, actually my sister does that. So I'd say under the age of 5, my sister's alone in the room with an iPad.
Yeah, she's well.
Fine. Well, that's that. Good advice from the youths.
Do you have any siblings, Amelia?
No, I'm an only child.
I have 1. But if you count my fur babies, I have 3.
Oh, if you are counting pets, yeah, I have 1. It's Patchy. Patches.
I have a cat named Elizabeth, who's 7, and a dog named Evie, who's 3.
Shout out to all the fur babies out there listening to the radio. Trying to figure out what their next read is.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a book called How to Read.
On that note.
Drum.
Okay, well, there's a little musical knee slapping solo going on. I don't know if our radio listeners can hear it.
This isn't my knee, it's a drum.
But we'll let the drum play us out as we end our show. But we hope everyone out there listening has a great week with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books.
Yay!
Happy reading!
Bye!
Happy reading!
Happy Passover! Happy Easter! Happy Ramadan! Yeah. So many holidays right now.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye. In the corner.